This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This is Everything Elite, the world's best podcast devoted exclusively to All Elite Wrestling and the Elite Extended Universe. I'm Aaron, joined as always by my good friend, Mike Spears. What's up, Mike?
Hey, y'all. It's your old pal, Iron Mike Spears. I'm doing pretty well. It's been a busy week for me and a week and a half for me, but I'm glad to be sitting here with my bros talking about All Elite Wrestling Dynamite : Homecoming. And yeah, how are you doing, AB?
I'm good. I enjoyed the show live from AEW's Corcoran Hall. I thought that was fun. So I was excited that they're back, you know. We're also joined, of course, by Nate, aka Epitasis. What's up, Nate?
It's me. I'm here. I had to check because Mike said he's doing pretty good. So I went to verify that, and the mental health meter on the whiteboard, still there after all this time, is indeed filled all the way to the top. So he is true to his word, always good to see. Hadn't checked on that in a while, but he has apparently been keeping it up.
Yes, I've been keeping it up. That's it. I've been keeping the thing on my whiteboard up when I've had the same things from our planning session for the Rampage show up there for at least a solid month and a half now, if you can see.
Okay, but I mean, can you confirm that the mental health meter is correct at this point in time?
Nope, he's changing it.
He's making a change. I can't see that far away, though.
Change. erase some.
Change.
I am turn and face the strange. No, I had to change it from the highest rating, which is great, down to the second highest rating, which is 6.
Okay. I feel like I catalyzed this decrease in your mental health now.
No, 6 is great. I mean, it's not great, but you
just said it was.
I mean, it's less than great, Mike. Come on, man.
It's less than great, but it's very good. Like I said, I'm doing pretty good.
Right. I'll tell you what, I'm doing pretty good. I actually booked my hotels for All Out today. So I actually found a place to stay.
Also great. Happy to hear it. Always, again, we had this conversation the other week, but always a little relieved when people come into my area and get hotels. So I don't have to be like, I wonder if I should invite them to stay with me. That would probably be the polite thing to do. But I'm very, I have to defend my turf here. I'm very protective of my home space.
No, I think that's entirely justified. You should know, Nate, that I've also booked my housing arrangements. So at least on a show standpoint, you're good to go, buddy.
Beautiful. I don't have to clean up at all. Aaron is frozen, I think. Yes, he is. Oh, we got a vamp. Oh, he sent us a message to vamp.
Let's see,
what's the vamp about? Did you buy the new Ariana Grande skin in Fortnite, Mike?
No, I mean, you know, I am such a Fortnite player. You know, I mean, I'm excited about the concert series that's coming up. Of course, the first concert was Marshmello. Now I think Ariana Grande's skin is in promoting the upcoming concert that she's having in the Fortnite. Because, you know, Fortnite's
on top of this, actually. Yeah, it's all correct.
Yeah, Fortnite's more than a game now. I mean, it is now a live service, which is a thing that's happening now.
It's approaching a metaverse. This is the new buzzword that all the developers are selling Mark VCs on, is the idea of a metaverse.
Yeah, and I discovered a few months ago that there is such thing called Roblox, and I don't want to know anything else about it because it just seems like that's just going to make me real sad, and I'll be going down from a 6 to not good.
It seems like a cousin. I also don't know really what it is at all, except I do remember a long time ago, finding that someone had created a Sami Callihan skin in Roblox and made that available for download, which was very funny to me.
Of course.
It seems like an uglier cousin of Fortnite, but also like some kind of Minecraft voxel blocks thing happening simultaneously.
Fortnite's still like a super popular game. Is that fair or no?
Absolutely so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's less in the zeitgeist, but I think in terms of, you know, population, I think
I
it's probably bigger than ever.
Wearing a Fortnite shirt the other day, I was like, oh, people are still doing Fortnite.
Oh, for sure. The esports side of Fortnite completely fell through. That was $100 million that Epic Gaming is never getting back, but the rest of it is doing great.
They're doing fine. They bought a small town now.
Oh, that's so, right. Yeah.
I think maybe in one of the Carolinas.
It's outside of Raleigh.
And Tony Khan's got a piece of that, so it's even AEW related.
Yeah. No, they bought an entire... It's either a former, like, dilapidated mall or a super church that maybe has been in said mall, and they're making it into a new campus.
It is a mall, like an abandoned mall, one of our many abandoned malls. But yeah, they're gonna, I guess, refurb it. I think probably super churches and CrossFit gyms have bought up like, you know, 70-80% of all the distressed properties in America. So I'm sure there was a super church in there and a CrossFit gym at some point.
If you want to know more about our progress toward buying a small town, you can follow us on Twitter at EverythingAEW. I'm at Aaron Like the Car. Nate is at Epitasis. Mike is at Fujiheya. Subscribe to the podcast. You just search Everything Elite, whatever app you use. Hit subscribe. You get these episodes as soon as they come out. And I think it helps us too. Give us a 5-star rating and review if you use the Apple Podcast app. And if you actually want to help us buy a town, head over to patreon.com/everythingelite. And subscribe. That's what we would do if our Patreon just blew up. We would buy a town, I think, for sure.
I would probably let you guys buy me out because that sounds like a lot of work.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And responsibility, really.
And then, Aaron, you would buy me out. So actually, you'd be paying me for half of it after we jointly pay Nate for 16.5%. So you'll have all of it to build your crazy town. I'm going up in the mountains.
How did Nate get downgraded?
Yeah,
I think Nate
had
a third
of it, and then you both bought the third from me.
You're saying we independently both bought 16.5%.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Oh, he did that fast. There's no way I was gonna define
well,
half of 33. That
is
way.
That I was trying to add it together before realizing it would just be 15.
Y'all, I'm real dumb, but I could do some math really quick in my head. Which, I mean, technically it would have been 16.67666 repeating 7 that we'd be buying from him. But I said 16.5 just because.
I don't want to work out. I hope we never have to do that. I hope this Patreon never gets successful enough that we have to do that. Okay. As usual, we're going to start off the show with Elite or Delete. Nate, I believe I saw in a DM that you really enjoyed the show this week, so I'm interested to hear about that. So hit us with what was your favorite part of the show this week?
I did. I enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, some of it is just expectations management. As you guys described it on Light, this was kind of a hangover show, and I kind of respected that they didn't. Obviously, they put on, you know, one big marquee match as the main event, but other than that, it kind of felt like a, you know, not a marquee card up and down the whole show, like, you know, some of their Dynamites are. And, you know, doing that in Jacksonville, you know, when you're coming off a hot streak of shows, you know, maybe the savvy thing to do. So my expectations weren't like, oh, you know, this is going to be a blowaway show. They're going to kill it up and down the card. It was just like, okay, I'm going to see what they're up to. And I enjoyed mostly everything, I think. I will say my elite pick was not anticipating this at all to be my elite pick, was the 6-man tag match between Jon Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Darby Allin versus the team of 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. I think there was a lot to like in this match. First of all, it just had like the fun old school wrestling feeling that you only get every once in a while when like all your baby faces team up. It's like the old Survivor Series feeling almost, when you get all the baby faces on the same side for the one time a year. You know, these guys are never interacting otherwise, and you just got, you know, Moxley and Darby and Eddie all there in each other's corner doing tags and tagging each other in to hit their finish and getting the crowd fired up for each other. And it just had a really good energy, especially because you had a pretty hot crowd throughout the show here. And then I was very, I don't think that I have, I know he's been on Dark. I don't know that I've ever seen an actual full Garcia match. I know 2.0, AKA 3.0, AKA Ever-Eyes has been around forever. I know Wiccaphase might be mad about this. I don't think I've ever seen them in my life. I've never seen a Chikara show in my life. But those guys really impressed me. They came out and they were like, we are on the big stage. I had a friend point out that they are maybe the first NXT act that was on NXT during the Wednesday Night Wars to jump ship to the other program. I think that's maybe true of them. And they were like, we're going to fucking show what we can do in this match, even though we're not going to get a ton of shine. We're not going to get to do all of our signature shit, get our shit in. But we're going to make every little, you know, moment and every little cell. And when we go in there and start doing the in-ring dialogue, I'm going to fucking project and scream from the bottom of my chest so the people in the back rows of Daily's Place hear me. That was all great. Daniel Garcia, who I haven't really seen, has, you know, a sort of intensity and energy and urgency to the stuff he does in the ring that you don't see from the other guys, you know, in his, on his level in the indies. Like, there's one point in this match where he just like flees or exits the ring to get away from, I don't know, Moxley or something. And even that was like, oh, he did that with way more energy and intensity than most guys do laying their offense in. So I was impressed with him. And then you just got fucking really fun, cool spots. You know, Sting outside with one of the Ever-Rise guys, like, and the guy's marking out for him, and fucking Darby sends his whole body into the top of his head. That was tremendous. So this was like the peak of the show to me. I was like, that was really fucking fun. What a novel concept. You have a short match where the baby faces look great. They dominate the other team for the most part, and yet you enjoy it and you're there for every minute.
As someone who's seen a lot of 2.0, 3.0 Ever-Eyes matches, Nate, you got the Ever-Eyes experience. Like, this is what they do. Like, they're decent enough wrestling-wise, but, like, you brought them in there really to, you know, project and be characters and just be buffoons, and they played their role exactly. Though it is going to be a really funny thing, the fact that they are the first real jump, I guess, is going to be, like, an interesting, like, trivia note down the line. The thing that like kind of got me about this that I thought was really kind of cool about this match was that Daniel Garcia is someone that just is kind of out of his time and place. Like, his time and place would have been Grapple Fuck Evolve. Like, he has the look for it, he has the intensity for it, a lot of his like skill and a lot of the way he wrestles in the ring would equip himself very well for like that Gulak, Biff, Thatcher era of Evolve. But he also showed a level of character and awareness that I feel like really translated really well. Whereas if you take a lot of those people that were prominent in that era of Evolve, I don't think that they'd be like, all right, this is like a house show kind of match to hear that we are just going to get in, get out. Eddie Kingston was awesome in this. Eddie just like, selling his knee, doing like a desperation enziguri, and then selling the knee again. Just really awesome stuff. And then, I mean, Daniel Garcia took like the nastiest looking paradigm shift at the end of the match, bleeding into the finish. It was sick as hell.
I think he probably has too much intensity for Grapple Fuck Evolve.
He's too mad.
The Grapple Fuck Evolve was like, I don't know, more like exhibition-y than just having that sort of like, I'm in a fucking fight right now.
Daniel Garcia, also my first time seeing him, just extremely looked like a white rapper from Southern Ohio who like smoked outside your high school, you know, like. Oh, I don't know. That's just kind of the vibe he gave me. But he was cool. He like I think also what you're going for, Nate, is maybe that he had too much charisma to be in the Evolve Grapple Fuck era. He actually seemed to have some personality, which was nice. I thought he was cool. I expected to think the 2.0 guys were lame, and I thought they were cool. They were fun. This whole thing was, it rocked. No, unless I zoned out. Nobody talked about the Darby spot. Did I miss that? Fuck.
No, I did. Yeah, I did.
That was cool. That looked great. That was exciting. Yeah, everything about this was cool. They should do more trios matches. Want to be clear, I am not advocating for the trios titles. I don't think that's necessary, but I do think if you're going to have these matches that really don't mean a lot, but you got crowds, you might as well put three baby faces together and have a good time.
You just get more when you have, you know, elements like that, that aren't in a feud or whatever, and don't otherwise mix. Like, we don't see Moxley and Darby interact ever since like their one match, you know, back pre-pandemic. And I think it just probably makes the crowd more fond and more invested in both of them. Just be like, hey, fucking, there's Moxley and Darby. They're together. They're having a good time. They're, you know, flowing and working together. And it's just, you go, hey, I like those guys. Now I like them more. It's kind of just a simple thing to make it a little more dynamic with your character work.
Yeah, it's cool to just see baby faces hanging out with each other. I like that. Okay, Mike, it's your turn. I know, you know, a lot of weeks you'd be picking the big fun trios match, so I'm interested to see where you go.
So, I think for me, the thing that I came away with, like, the most impressed with was the TNT title match, Miro versus Lee Johnson. I thought that this was such a well done and cool match. Like, Miro doing little things in this match is something that, you know, you don't get to see very often, at least in North American professional wrestling. Like, the idea of just shrugging off drop kicks and, like, instead of going down, he takes a knee and tries to collect himself because he is that much of a badass. He is that much of a tank that, like, all these things don't really affect him. And the fact that he just at one point decided that, okay, this was over, and just destroyed him. And then afterwards was like hugging Lee. And if you like read his lips, he was like, I forgive you. I forgive you. You did good. And just like the most condescending way was just tremendous stuff. And Lee Johnson is a real success story, I would say, of the Daily's Place era of All Elite Wrestling, just the way that he really came aboard and then like got a contract through all of this, and then to an extent that he got a TNT title match. And I thought that he was really awesome in this, and I like the way that they kind of worked like Lee's like hope that he had in this match. Like, there, this was a match that had, everyone knew what the finish was going to be, everyone knew that this would not be a long match, but the way that they kind of drew out and let Lee keep on staying in it, and then Lee got the offense where he did tope suicida, tope suicida, tope conjolo, where he did a splash where he like he got like the very near three count. And I don't know if it's something where, like, I mean, I was not invested enough to thinking that he had a chance of winning this belt, but I was, but the crowd at some points seemed like they were, and that added so much to it, and just was overall just an overwhelming success of a title match. And Miro is the most interesting champion, I would say, in North America wrestling right now, and I'm excited to see where the road takes him next, because this was kind of like a checklist defense. Like, I got a defense done on Dynamite, now what am I doing next? I'm kind of excited to see, as we start approaching All Out, where he goes from here.
Yeah, this match totally worked, totally accomplished what they said I had to do. Miro is obviously great. I really like his new music that they've added with the horns. It just gives him a different energy than everybody else has. Nobody else has that sort of, I don't know, it's like a old school fanfare, but it's got his whatever Bulgarian flair to it. That all works for him. So with the caveat that this all totally worked and was successful, I'm going to nitpick it. I just think that they gave Lee Johnson too much. It went too long, and Lee Johnson got too much of a hope spot in there. I just want to see, I said this the last time they did a Miro title match on television, I just want to see Miro kill these guys, especially Lee Johnson, who has not won on Dynamite at all ever since the one, the one match on Dynamite where he got his first win, and then, like, you know, the Nightmare family congratulated him or whatever, and QT was mad. That's the only time I can remember Lee Johnson winning on this television show. And now he's has a title shot, and is, you know, there's like a whole additional quarter to this match that didn't need to be there, where he gets a bunch of offense in on Miro. And granted, Miro does a great job selling, like you said, where, you know, it looks like he's for the most part just toughing through all of that offense, but, you know, eventually has to show some of it. But, you know, like a lot of matches in the promotion, it was like 4 minutes too long. Miro should have just killed him 4 minutes earlier, and then you can find a little time for something else. But, you know, that's kind of the tension of how rarely so many people are on Dynamite in this promotion, that I haven't seen. You know, I know Lee Johnson has been getting wins on Dark and on Elevation and all these things, but I don't watch them, so I don't see them, so I don't know why I should take this guy as legitimate now. I was reminded of the really good Lance Archer versus Colt Cabana match from the TNT tournament, where Lance Archer pretty much dominated and just beat him outright, but like Colt got in like an appropriate amount of offense, and just a really well worked television match where one guy outclasses the other, but, you know, the underneath guy is just given just enough to like maintain respect. And I was like, man, that was a kind of a better version of this match. And then I was like, when was the last time Colt Cabana, a really good professional wrestler, wrestled on TV? So I did look it up. He hasn't been on Dynamite since January. We're now in August. I guess I got to go to AAW to see Colt Cabana wrestle. So that's fine.
I basically agree with both of you in different ways. Like, on one hand, yes, in the context of the promotion and everything, Lee Johnson definitely got too much. And Miro, if he has to wrestle Lee Johnson, he should murder him. On the other hand, out of context, I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was a fun way of putting the match together, and not something that we get a lot of on AEW, I don't think, with this type of layout of a match. So I enjoyed that. They kind of sold to you that Lee Johnson was going to get killed and then let him have some nice hope spots. But Miro kind of, in a lot of ways, no-selling his hope spots or a lot of his hope spots. So I thought that was fun. So overall, I liked the match. I'm just, not sure it should have happened, basically.
I mean, a lot of the matches in this promotion, sometimes you kind of wonder why it's happening. So sure. I guess, like, for me, like, I've just kind of couched the idea that in this promotion, it's going to go a little longer than I expected. And I kind of, I don't want to say adjusted to a curve, but I kind of have adjusted to a curve on this. And I just kind of expect that. So I totally understand, like, how Miro was selling at the beginning of the match. This should not have come off at all that Lee Johnson was there. But at least for how it was working in that regard, I felt like that they built up to Lee Johnson's offense actually working in a logical manner. So it didn't bother me as much. Will it help? Was it necessary? No. Will it hurt Miro? Probably not in the long run. But I totally understand where Nate's coming from with that.
Yeah, again, mine's with the caveat that the match did work and totally accomplished what they meant to do, but just my own regular nitpicks about, you know, the length of these matches and a lot of stuff.
Well, I'm going to take the easy one, guys. Malakai Black fucking rocked on this show. I think we were all pretty skeptical of him. I know a lot of people were skeptical of him. The music hit, the guy walked out, and I was like, no, this guy, it felt like a fucking star, man. He came out, it was like, this guy rocks. The crowd was into him. He did his little crisscross applesauce gimmick, and it was fun. And then he came out and just had great presence, kicked the shit out of Cody, gave him the Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 7 pinfall that rocked in a lot of ways. I'm stopping every nice thing I'm saying, you know, when the bell rang, for sure. Yeah, the last bell rang. But Malakai Black was great. And if he just kind of is like, I think, what's their fucking name? Somebody did this tweet, so I'm stealing this tweet. But if he's just goth Steve Blackman, then he rocks. And, you know, if he doesn't make it too spooky, then I think it's going to be a great time with Malakai Black in AEW.
I feel like it's, I mean, nothing against Steve Blackman. Steve Blackman was pretty cool. Yeah, I think you can maybe set higher sights than that. I mean, Steve Black was like a underneath job guy. And like you said, Malachi Black came out here, huge reception, and the whole production of his entrance is really strong. He does come off like a star. I will maybe do a delete for his shorts. His shorts just don't seem, I don't know.
Oh.
I like the idea of the MMA shorts, but they're just like a little too velvety or like flowy or something. So I don't know, maybe just tighten those up, I guess. But hey, I always said, if this guy just fucking does his cool kicks, that's really all you need to do to make me happy. And he did cool kicks, and Cody took big bumps for him. And Cody, you know, died to him in 5 minutes. So that's a pretty sound formula for making the new guy come off like a star. Everything after the bell was good. And there was one other point that I had. Why is he still doing the eye makeup? Does that enhance him at all to have obvious makeup on his face? It's
Buddy,
I just look at it and I go,
it's lore. It's lore.
He's selling the story for Big Match Buddy. You kidding me?
That's stupid. but it's just so clearly makeup. Like, you look at it and you go, man, we have high definition cameras. I can see the outline of your fake contact in your eye. Like, it's, I don't know. That one thing they can fix and this would be even better, but it did work excellently. And he came off like a big star. And I mean, they introduced and established this guy way better than they have with a lot of other people that they've introduced.
I will defend the shorts. Those are K1 kickboxing shorts, and they're supposed to be a little bit more flowy because they're supposed to allow for better movement of the legs. I mean, you got to show off the gams, Nate.
Okay, sounds legit. So I will keep that in mind next time I see them. But yeah, they look kind of velvety or something.
Oh, they look like his Funtime boxers. You know, the those are his Funtime boxers.
It's like, yeah, like Naito used to, or probably still does. Who knows? Naito had those little shorts that were like, it looks like you do probably wear those to sleep in also. So it doesn't really project, tough athlete.
Yeah. The thing that got me about this match was just how concentrated it has felt about Malachi Black between Road 2 yesterday and all this, that they've concentrated the character, they've kind of distilled it down, that they still let it be like the right amount of spooky, I guess, but like as soon as, like Nate, as you said, as soon as he got like out there, like, yeah, he looks like an absolute pervert out there coming out there with a jackalope mask on, but then the match happens and he just kicks heads, goes for ankle picks, goes for knee bars, and just looks like an absolute badass. No, this was absolutely successful. It will be interesting to see, unlike last time, how long that we go between seeing Cody Rhodes now. It does seem like that Cody, between the various shows, having a newborn daughter, it does seem like this is something that's, I think this is actually really kind of smart, the way that they kind of build up to be. Yes, it was a little bit we're getting a little Douglas Sirk with the melodrama towards the end with it, but then Malachi killed him with the short crutch and just like looked like a badass. So I even after the bell, even though we had like the histrionics, I felt like it was all very successful. And I mean, look, when Malachi Black came out here, he came out and was received as a star. When the match happened, when all of his big spots, star. Afterwards, like the standing pinfall, absolute star. And then standing tall over Cody, busting a small crutch on him, I felt like you like a megastar. So unqualified success, and it's now kind of made Malachi Black now into one of the more interesting people in the promotion, because where does he go from here? Because he's just completely wrecked the ace of the company, and it's something where it's like, are the Nightmare Family going to come after him? Like, are we going to get like Brock Anderson versus Malachi Black, and Brock Anderson's going to get his head kicked off too? Like, is this why Fuego is now a member of the Nightmare Family, so he could take sick bumps and he's going to die too? So I'm really excited to see where this can go. And I feel like that this match was an unqualified success and getting me to this point.
Yeah. Was the post-bell stuff going to be your delete, Aaron, or do you want to talk about it now?
It wasn't going to be my delete, but, you know, I like to keep it. I was trying to keep some positivity in this portion of the show.
Well, I'll be positive.
I like the post-match
stuff. I thought
it
was tremendous. I thought it was great. You know, we know Cody's going to do the Go Big Show too, and he's got a baby and so on and so forth. So, you know, he escalated the stakes from what he did last time when he did this with Brody Lee. He's like, well, not only am I, you know, leaving and going out on a crutch now, I'm also teasing that I'm retiring. Just great, goofy pro wrestling escalation of stakes. And he sold it. He sold it very well. He's doing like the off mic, like, kind of sounds about the pain he's in. That all landed for me huge. He takes a little nugget of truth and to pop all the Trevors out there. And it's like, oh, you know, we had EVP infighting, but because, you know, I'm here at the end of my run, I got to tell those guys that I love them deeply. So just that little kernel of truth that makes you wonder if he's being honest about everything else. And, you know, right at the moment where you think, man, you know, this is working. This feels like unvarnished Cody. This feels like the Cody that people connect to and the Cody that people want. But, you know, Malakai Black just killed this guy and then just left unceremoniously and is not on the screen anymore. And that's something to mull over. And right when you're thinking that, Malakai comes back in and blasts the guy. Got a big laugh from me. So I thought it was pretty great. But Mike was talking on late today about how Cody has the biggest variance between the good shit that he does and the bad shit that he does of maybe anyone in pro wrestling, which I think is exactly right. Because every once in a while, Cody will be just absolutely fucking transcendent, like the Dustin match or the cage match with Wardlow. And that's what he was going for here, that promo after the cage match with Wardlow where he was crying about his dad in Atlanta. He tried to recreate that here. He got like most of the way there. But then gave you the swerve and had Malakai just kill him again. So this was firmly in the good shit from Cody camp from me.
I like to keep this part of the show positive, so I will bury it later in the show. How about that? So it's also a tease. How's that?
All right.
Okay. Our listener elite of the week from listener KY, who says the elite pick is the top rope walls and Judas effect. In the Chris Jericho versus Juventud Guerrero match, of course, have to agree. Thought the walls was going to be the finish, and it was going to be the funniest shit that has maybe ever happened on Dynamite. But the top rope Judas effect was legit sick. It rocked.
Just a winning match, like that was the weird. Just yeah, no, that match ruled.
Yes, the juice was loose, and if your pubes are loose, folks, you got to hang out with our friends at Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com. Use the code THISIS. And, you know, we've been watching the Olympics. You've been betting on the Olympics. And if the athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Do right by your balls. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They've got the Performance Package 4.0. It's got the lawnmower 4.0. It's got the weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer. It's got the crop preserver, the crop reviver, toner, and two free gifts, the boxer briefs and the shed travel bag. Let me tell you this about the Manscaped boxer briefs. I just bought some boxer briefs from a company that will go unnamed, that's supposed to be fancy, whatever. The Manscaped boxer briefs are better than these. I mean, that's a shoot, folks. That's a shoot. They really are. So Manscaped bringing it across the full package of products that they have here. The Lawnmower 4.0, of course, is excellent with the advanced skin safe technology, the 7,000 RPM motor, the light that goes on and off when you need it. But you also get the weed whacker so you can trim up your ear and nose hair. You get the crop preserver deodorant that I can't stop going on about that I love, and the crop reviver. But don't lose sight of the boxers and the shed travel bag. You can get 20% off and free shipping. You just use the code THISIS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code THISIS at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped. All right, let's talk about what we didn't like. I'm going to get rid of all those positive vibes from the beginning of the show. Nate, what would you have deleted from this episode of Dynamite?
Pretty sure I just did this 2 weeks ago. where Mike put over the opening Chris Jericho labor as Elite, and I deleted it. this first match, I thought Hoovy came to play. Hoovy, I mean, these guys were not on the same page, but Hoovy was there to do his best. He had the spots ready to go. He had the energy ready to go. He had the backspitting gut kicks ready to go. But the whole, I mean, don't get me wrong, this match was very funny and very fun. But I think the novelty of having Chris Jericho fight Nick Gage last week, and the fact that they had a whole bunch of plunder and gimmicks, kind of protected him a little bit. I find Chris Jericho pretty hard to watch in the ring at this point. He moves around. He doesn't look smooth moving around. He can't fire up. There's a couple times in this match and those previous matches, like, where he's got to jump out of the corner and go cut off Hoovy with a shoulder block or whatever. And it just looks totally labored. And he's, you know, doing his little running pushdowns to the guy. And it just doesn't feel like anything approaching athletic or legitimate. It just looks like, you know, one guy selling for the bigger star who can't move around very well anymore. You know, it's still working for these guys. Chris Jericho has been in Daly's place for more than a year straight and has, you know, had storylines of varying success and matches of varying success, but really seems to be on kind of a downward slope in this last most recent run of matches. But people still love him just as much or more than they ever did in this company. So I can't fault what he's doing in that regard, but yeah, these are not like hot, spirited openers to get your show going. Cause if these Dynamites were running after NBA games, like they occasionally do, NBA Twitter would be murdering this guy. He would be fucking dead by way of roast. So that's my delete.
All that being said, Nate, your comments are valid. I feel like you're justified in what you're saying. This match was fucking hilarious. Like, just bizarre. Like, Juventud Guerrera, the juice was loose, just doing, like, trying to turn the clock back to Juventud Guerrera, who's, like, only wrestled twice this year. Like, he does not wrestle a whole lot in Mexico. He runs, like, weird, like, tournaments instead. And Jericho, yeah, no, like, expecting, like, turn the clock back, like, this kind of match. You know who and I've mentioned before, you know who Jericho would have looked okay in the ring with in this? Ultimo Dragon. Because Ultimo Dragon doesn't do anything he used to do. He would just, like, go hold, and you do a long match draw in 8 minutes, and you get out of there. But no, this is just bizarre. And how is he going to do the Wardlow match next week without Wardlow looking like absolute shit? Well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough to overbook because they've said that the Inner Circle can't interfere. So, and it's, you know, Jericho is not spry or nimble enough to be, like, you know, evading and outsmarting two guys at once. It's just going to look labored and slow and fake. That's just what he is now. So also, very strange choice by commentary. MJF gets on there and he's like, Hoovy is the fastest and most agile luchador in the world. It's like, man, he's like, you know, yeah, you can say he used to be, but you're going to set that expectation for people that he's fast and agile when he's in there with Chris Jericho? I don't know, man.
I don't know. I thought this was bad, but in a way that I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Definitely they were not on the same page, and definitely it made Jericho look worse than he has in some time, honestly. He looked bad. Now, maybe I just worked myself because I've really enjoyed these labors matches so far. I'm like, I'm into Jericho again. And it was not good, but it was funny. I really wish they would have finished with the walls from the top rope. That was funny as fuck.
I should say the Flying Judas effect did look great. That was awesome.
Yeah,
definitely the highlight. Yeah, I mean, you thought the Shawn Spears match was like really... I mean, don't get me wrong. I am this version of Chris Jericho is very funny. And again, if he was, you know, a luchador doing this in Mexico in front of 800 people, I would think he's the absolute greatest.
I like the Spears match.
Hmm.
I did.
Yeah, Jericho looks rough, man.
He does. I mean, he's bad.
That's
he's
all. That's all.
Now, speaking of commentary doing weird things, after this match, MJF does his whole spiel about Wardlow being the fourth labor, which I do agree is weird, and I kind of hate the idea that Wardlow is going to have to lose again. But MJF is like, oh, I'll be accompanying Wardlow to the ring, and JR immediately says, MJF's the referee? And sells it as being the ref, but then the graphic later doesn't say MJF is the referee, so I don't think he is the referee, but Jim Ross said twice that he was. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's not the referee.
No.
I think JR just thinks. What's Miro's catchphrase? Is it God's
favorite champion?
Chosen champion?
Favorite
champion?
Yeah, God's favorite champion, the Redeemer.
There was a moment. Okay, there was a moment, I think, during the ad break where Miro is getting the heat on the dude, and he yells into the camera, God's favorite champion. And Jim Ross goes, oh, God's only champion. Is that what he means?
All right. Mike, hit us with your delete pick of the week.
Just Christian in general, like Christian on the show just was not good, and especially for how things are starting to come together for All Out. He is currently, after tonight's show, ranked number one in the men's division. He cut like an absolute bizarre promo backstage afterwards, and then it is just like, you're doing this build-up here, and if this was a build-up to a TV match, that makes sense. Like, if this was going to be a TV Christian match here, and they have time. They have at least six episodes of television to get there. But everything that's, like, put out by Christian right now, is there anything in how Christian has, one, wrestled, or two, has been portrayed that makes you feel like, hey, this feels like the right person to go do a pay-per-view main event with? Because I just like look at this and like, this seems like perhaps like the worst possible option they could be doing with the AEW men's world title here. And I just was, it was abysmal. Like the Christian stuff this week just like made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, I can't do a great defense of Christian. If he's the All Out match, as has been suggested or rumored, that's a pretty big disappointment. I agree. I think he's a fine television challenger. I you know, that would be, they brought him in and were like immediately setting him up as like a dream Omega match. So, you know, they did a little course correction. They got him on solid footing with the Jungle Boy thing. That's all great and wonderful. And then maybe you heat him up for a television challenge. That's totally a valid place for him to be, I think, given his history in the business and everything. But yeah, that, I mean, Meltzer said Paige is not on All Out, and they're not doing a title match there. Some people have suggested this is because his babies do. But to go from expecting that to be the match, and even assuming that like CM Punk is somewhere on the show and he's, you know, going to send most of the Chicago people home happy, I'm still going to, you know, if they're in the building, I'm going to be fucking annoyed that Christian is in the world title match. Be like, really? Christian? I guess. I don't, you know, I thought the Matt Hardy match was pretty good the other week. Here's the thing. Christian, his finishers stink. The spear stinks. The unprettier stinks. The spear, but he beat him with a spear here, and his spear just doesn't look like anything. It looks like a little stomach hug push down. Terrible finish. There's got to be another finisher out there that he can use. I mean, he has been using these two bad finishers for like 20 years. I understand. They're still bad. I don't know. That's all I got.
It looks like a 8-year-old learning how to play tackle football. Like there's no momentum. It's just like colliding and falling, colliding and falling. He just looks bad. It looks bad.
Who has a worse spear, Christian or Charlotte?
I cannot tell you the last time I saw a Charlotte spear. So
Yeah, buddy, you're barking up the wrong tree.
There are bad.
Her spear was bad. It was bad.
Most people have very bad spears. There's like,
I know a very bad spears. Mike no sold that. I was talking about Drew, of course.
That's why I no sold that.
Well, yeah, many more bad spears than good ones. Yeah, if you can't do it like Goldberg, don't do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have anything to add to that. Couldn't agree more. Everybody knows how I feel about Christian, so I don't want to pile on. All right, I have an anticipatory delete, a preliminary delete, and it kind of plays into that. It's like whatever's going on with Adam Page, I really don't like. Because, I mean, the Elite thing, everything the Elite did on the show was good. I want to be very clear about that. All of their stuff was good. But whatever's happening, if the idea is that, well, his child is going to be born around this time, and so he's going to have to take time off, so he can't, you know, win the big title or whatever, did they fucking just find that out? I mean, generally, a fetus gestates for about 9 months. We're 1 month away from All Out. They were clearly building to this match. I do not believe you if you tell me the shit from like the last couple of weeks before last week was building to what they're doing now. Nonsense. So they clearly have changed paths for some reason. If it has to do with CM Punk, that sucks. If it has to do with the kid thing, that sucks just because of bad planning. Like, on everybody's part, to be clear. You also shouldn't have planned to have your fucking baby on All Out. We all know how long it takes. So I just don't like it. It's cool. Like, the story makes sense that he had to come to some reason why the Dark Order thing also didn't work for him, right? Like, he has to do this on his own. That's the only thing that makes sense. But he should have gone to All Out and lost the match, and that's why he found that. I mean, that would have been crushing, right? I just feel like it should have been a bigger thing, the same way that he figured out that the Elite wasn't going to work for him. So I just think it's a cheap way to tell like a really important part of the story, and I'm just bummed about this path that we're on now with Hangman.
Well, I hate the idea of him having the match at All Out and losing. I think that's worse than postponing the match until he can win it. But yeah, I will say, if it is the case that he's not on the show because his child is being born, they need to get that story out there and launder that to people. Because if there's the perception that there already is the perception that they're putting him, you know, on the bench because CM Punk is coming in. And I don't, you know, there's nothing in the text of the show to make you dissuaded from that perception. So they need to do a little PR move and get out to your Roverts and your Joe Lances that Adam Page is out on the show because he's having a baby. And that's the only reason. Because, you know, CM Punk's going to be fine in Chicago. But if he comes in playing the rock role of the part-time worker who's coming in to take the spots away from the, you know, guys who are here and working hard every single week and our homegrown stars, and we're going to bring back this star from the past and put him over instead, that kills him, and that makes you, it lessens your affection for the company and the brand. It makes you go, this is kind of just the same old shit, isn't it? So I think they need to tread kind of carefully on that point.
What's even more annoying to me is that, you know, what you're saying about they need to launder that story, because they're still telling a story on TV that could conceivably end in Adam Page challenging Kenny Omega at All Out, which we're led to believe isn't happening. So, you know, it's just one of those times where I guess hearing things or whatever kind of fucks up. I don't know. You don't know what to expect. But if they're not delivering that at All Out, they are continuing to sell a false bill of goods to the fans, which I think is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's a hard modern wrestling question where you do have to account for what the fans are hearing and thinking, or else you're not doing your job of working the fans to get the desired reaction that you want. You're just being lazy about it. And so I think you need to take that into account. And you know, it's like a, it's kind of a perpetual wrestling problem in how much do you make people wait until you give them what you want? How much do you tease them along to get more money out of them? How much do you, you know, have the second act of the trilogy where there's the downfall of the hero? How long do you milk that for until you pay him off and give him the happy baby face ending? It's very hard to say, but you are, you know, they're inching closer to being in trouble on that point. And I think they, I hope that they are more aware of that than they are about what they're putting on their AEW dark show.
It's yeah. It's something where like each time you pull back the football, like using a Peanuts analogy, if you are Tony Khan as Lucy pulling up the football each time Charlie Brown or the fans expect it's going to happen, you really are risking the chance of, that people just get divested in it. That they're just like, okay, yeah, it's just not going to happen. And then when it happens, it just doesn't matter. So Nate, you were dead on about that. I just, it's something that I like a very kind of cleanly told story in a way. Like sometimes I feel like that they make situations too cute by half and it just turns into a problem of their own making here. And it's something that this has so overwhelmingly been a story of the promotion for the last 2 years has been, or since inception, was can Hangman win the title? Is he good enough? And the way that they've like played out the story there, that it just seems like at a certain point, and I feel like this might be kind of where you're coming from here, AB, like outside of the whole situation with his unborn child and due dates and all this. At a certain point, like the most satisfying and the most exhilarating story is not the one that you constantly like throw curves at it and you're going down the path and you have to go another way. It's not like doing switches and roundabouts. It's telling the damn story. And when they get a little bit too cute for half, then you get the chance of like, oh, we think this is going to really be satisfying at the in the end. And then you're like, is it going to be? And if they accomplish that, then yeah, sure, that's right. The right way to do it, or that was a satisfying thing. But if it doesn't come off as anticipated, then maybe you pulled up that football one too many times.
Yeah, and I gotta say, this wouldn't really be the first time they pulled the football with Paige either. You know, he was in the first title match, and I think people thought he might genuinely have a chance to win there. And when Aaron started talking about his delete and saying, I'm getting tired about what they're doing with Adam Page. And now he's doing a thing where it's like, well, now he's leaving the Dark Order. He's not friends with them anymore. It, you know, just took me back to, oh, they wasted months on this Adam Page thing where he was in the Elite and then breaking up with the Elite. And then he really quit the Elite, but no, actually they're still forcing him to be in the Elite. But now he's really quitting the Elite for good. Now he's going to be friends with this other group. And we were fucking tired of it. And we all want to like Adam Page. We are all rooting for Adam Page to get elevated and be a, you know, a fresh new star in 2021 and be like, oh my God, they can do it. They can still make stars in wrestling. We all want that to happen. And they have not made it as smooth as it should be because they keep getting in their own way with this. Will they or won't they? Will he or won't he? Can he? Can't he? And now this is just one more thing that they're throwing in. They're like, you know, you got us back. It turned out the Dark Order and Adam Page thing did kind of work. But now you're again threatening that. And I just, you know, they got to tread careful.
Listener delete is from Patrick Cosmos. He says delete 1,000 years in jail for the wordy sign guy on the hard cam. Insane signs from this person.
I only noticed the one, I think, about Miro.
What about CM Punk?
Noticed the Miro one. You know, first started running AEW events, didn't they say no signs? Wasn't that a thing that they weren't? It was like we don't want our crowds to be full of signs, you know, obstructing people's view.
Yeah, there might have been like, hey, I feel it's like we're catering towards the fan experience was like a big thing about that. But The only sign of that guy's that I noticed was like he had like a, wasn't it like a really like depressed sign or like a sign about someone that was supposed to win, and then it was like the exact opposite happened, and then like he looked really crestfallen on camera.
I think I saw somebody talking about it in the Discord, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. I didn't register that. I mean, I just think signs at wrestling shows, like, it just makes a miserable viewing experience. Like, at least he was putting them, from what I could tell, like, over the barricade and not holding up the entire time. Yeah. So
they were just unreadable because they had, like, fucking paragraphs on them.
Yeah.
Paragraphs using, like, the very fine tip Sharpie. Yeah. Like, no one's going to be able to see that on national television.
Yeah, unnecessary. I think I'm just totally against signs. You know, I'm tired of seeing signs in my Twitter feed. You know, not I'm I over agree. Signs. There's no clever.
We sign. Already had enough signs. There were enough signs in the 90s. We can look at those forever.
And then fatheads, like, I just.
Oh, I fucking hate the fatheads.
Yeah. I'm gonna be anyway. Old man shaking fist here, but like
trying to keep it positive.
We're in the delete section of the show.
You're right. You're right.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's gonna be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably gonna get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. keyless entry. No more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
All right, well, let's run down the rest of the show. Of course, it started off with Chris Jericho versus Juventud Guerrero. I almost said Chris Jericho because of Juventud. You know, the different J sounds, very difficult. Wins with the top rope, Judas Effect. We found out afterwards that Wardlow would be the fourth labor. Then we had the Lucha Bros and Alex Abrahantes with Dasha. Pac isn't here because his travel got canceled. Andrade, Chavo, and Tablet Guy come out. Chavo still wants Lucha Bros to work for them. Penta says no.
Can't Phoenix just translate for Penta? He's right fucking there.
He does apparently speak very good English.
He spoke very good English for a long time. He's cut tremendous English babyface promos in AEW for, I don't know, 5 years now. And
also a sick fit for Phoenix.
Doesn't actually have to translate on the fly because they can work out what he's going to say beforehand. This drives me fucking crazy.
I enjoy that. I'm sorry, but I do. The Dark Order is with Tony Schiavone backstage. Tony says no more tag title match for you guys. Paige comes in apparently just to grab his beer, tries to leave. They say they're not mad at him, but he says he created these problems with the Elite and he's going to need to do this on his own. So he is parting with the Dark Order.
Extricating himself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'd use a big word there. Did you notice, or was it just me, that like for some reason, a lot of their backstage stuff does not sound very good?
Oh, the sound was awful.
Okay, cool. So it wasn't just me. I wasn't just having like a moment. All right.
No, on this one in particular, it was really bad.
Okay, cool.
Then we had the trios match with Darby, John Moxley, and Eddie Kingston defeating Daniel Garcia, Matt Lee, and Jeff Parker. Darby pinned Garcia with the coffin drop. Then we got a hype video for Ricky Starks versus Brian Cage. They're just having Brian Cage cut promos for some reason. But still, you know, excited. This is going to be a fun match when they finally pull the trigger on it.
Which match?
Ricky Starks versus Brian Cage.
I don't know. We just saw this match. And they've only made just both of these acts less good since then. They've only made Brian Cage less over since they just did this match. So
I'm trying to stay positive.
I'm not excited for it at all. I'm 180 on Brian Cage now. Because what they've done with him makes no fucking sense. He's a huge dumbass in real life. And he has to demonstrate that to everyone online. And also, what half of these Team Taz promos, they never give this fucking angles or this story any time. They did the one segment last week, but before that, it's like earlier on AEW, earlier in the evening, or hey, here was Taz recording a promo backstage, and it's all in fucking fast forward. So it just feels like they don't think it's important. So I don't think it's important. I'm down on it.
I want to be clear to everyone, this is the television show that Nate told us he really liked all of it.
Yeah, well, I like getting righteously indignant about the dumb things they do. So
I like that too. So I understand. The Elite were backstage. Machine Gun Carl Anderson is spinning a basketball on his finger, and they are counting up to the 2012 time.
Yeah, see this Carl Anderson bit in this whole promo. You know, this counts 100 times more than that last shitty promo. This puts it, this is like, oh, I enjoy that so much. Or so much fun. You know, the Brian Cage thing is a little blip in the back of my mind compared to the pure endorphin rush that was this Elite segment.
Yes, it was great. Gallows says the Dark Order are going to be wrestling them for the Impact titles next week.
Aaron, you left out the important thing. Doc Gallows was wearing a bright gold Ric Flair robe as to over like his normal clothes, just doing that. Just Dr. Dangley was out there tonight. It was tremendous.
Hey Hanger, I guess we'll get to that later. The Bucks do this thing about, you know, there's nobody to wrestle them. Kenny says the same. Hangman blew it, and now the fans don't have a main event. Brandon Cutler cuts down the net of this basketball goal that's there. See, that's interesting to me, because I think this is stupid, but doesn't it scream to you that they're going to do Kenny versus one of these big debuts as the All Out match?
Well, Kenny was wearing a Cookie Monster shirt, which many people took to be a CM Punk reference. You omitted Brandon Cutler getting fired up to cut his own promo, and then they're just
because he wanted
them just pushing him to the back. That was great. Love Brandon Cutler in this role. You also omitted Kenny after this very long shot, this very long promo by three other people, shoots and makes two shots on the hoop with no, you know, apparent cuts, which I was very impressed by. Because Kenny, not a natural basketball player, as you may know from watching him dribble, but made those both, nothing but net, in a high pressure situation. So, you know, that's why he's a top push talent.
I Brandon Cutler, low key, not an elite pick, but, you know, background player of the day here between this and what he does in the other segment.
Christian versus the Blade was up next. Christian won with the spear, as we discussed. Then we got a pre-tape with Santana Ortiz and FTR building to another match because FTR Bald wants to get back at them for Cash's injury. And I just want to congratulate these two teams and AEW on finally figuring out a build to a match between them. Very good.
And figuring out how to edit a dynamic promo war between these two teams, because the editing was actually like crisp.
They made Bald do a good promo.
Bald had a good promo, but I was grossed out the entire time because they showed Cash Wheeler's injury. I'm glad Cash Wheeler is doing well. Did not need to see that like that. I'm a little bit of a squeamish one. So like that, I had a moment with that, but like the segment rocked outside of that.
Look, I mean, I know they're doing wrestling, although Bald also did the dumb tweet about it, but it's like, this guy was not in danger of death. Can we be serious for a second? Maybe he's going to lose his arm or something, but wasn't going to die. That's all.
I feel like you might be able to die from that.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. Rick maybe Baker. Not when you're in immediate range of medical attention, but
yeah, he's right there.
If you were, you know, elsewhere.
Bald is like, I almost had to watch my best friend bleed out. It's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, it's,
I know Doc Sampson is a fake doctor, but he's right there.
That's fine. He it helped him bring fire and passion to the promo, so I'm fine with
it. It did. Britt Baker is with Tony Schiavone. She points out that Jacksonville's where she won the title. Red Velvet reappears from the ether and tells her that red is not her color. She wants to challenge her. Britt reminds her that she beat her in 3 minutes in Jacksonville the last time they wrestled, so she's willing to take her on again. They both agree that they've changed. Britt wants to wrestle her in Pittsburgh. Rebel tries to attack Red Velvet, and this leads to a fake out that allows Britt to attack Red Velvet.
Red Velvet has maybe talked on Dynamite three times, came out here totally composed, full of poise, looking like a star, talking like a star. It's like, oh, shit, another good female talent we don't have time for.
It's something that, like, they started building this up on Dark in a way. And, Nate, I know that these are things you don't watch. Take a guess what her finisher is now, because they've changed it, like, four times.
The Crossroads.
The play of the day.
Is that the same as the roll of the dice?
And it's the same as the overdrive, yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We got to get somebody in the lab to just develop new finishers for Red Velvet and Christian.
This time it's called The Last Slice.
She has a cooking gimmick.
Well, as Danny said in the YouTube chat, he was talking about Christian, but I think this is true of other people too. They just need to study Kenta tape so they can find some new finishers. He's provided lots of good finishers to people.
Red Velvet was using like her version of like the flying knee boot for a while. Like she's gone through like four finishers here, and someone was watching a Kenta tape and told her to do that move. So Danny, you're absolutely right about that for Christian, but did not work for Red Velvet, I feel like. Or they should have went back to that instead of doing an overdrive, play of the day, roll the dice.
Let me put a pin in this, but Britt, don't go back to these like just straight up babyface promos. Like you mm-hmm. gotta keep your edge. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna criticize yet, because this was one time, but I wanna see her keep that edge.
You're right about that, but I thought Red Velvet in a tough spot again, because Britt is like mostly a babyface. She like had the verbal barbs and got good reactions for him. So I think it was a positive segment for her.
Yeah, you're right though. And I didn't think about that, but another weird thing where it's like, let's bring out a babyface to challenge Britt. Okay. Adam Page is with Tony, and they did this whole thing where the Elite interrupted and Omega went off on him and said they don't have losers in the Elite, so he can't rejoin. Page slapped him. Everybody else attacked him. The Dark Order tried to come out, but then Evil Uno and Stu Grayson basically pushed them to the back, and that led to the Bucks hitting multiple BTE triggers on Page. The Elite Hunter, Frankie Kazarian, arose from the dead, but the numbers were against him, and we end with Omega hitting Page with the title.
That's not just it. We also had Michael Nakazawa dunk the ball on Adam Page, and Brandon Cutler get so happy because he got the cold spray on Kazarian. The flunkies are amazing.
They're so great. Well, it was really good about both of those. Cutler was like using the cold spray, not only to spray him, but was like fending him away with the cold spray like it was a sword or something, where he's like, no, you can't come close to me.
It was like a bug. It was like he's trying to spray a bug.
And then Nakazawa with the ball, had to get the perfect opportunity and took like three attempts too long to actually use the ball, and then did it at like the perfectly wrong time. Very funny. Love those guys.
Then we had Dan Lambert pre-tape. He's back and says he's bringing backup next week for Lance Archer. So I guess any guesses on Dan Lambert's backup?
Got fired up for this.
Paige VanZant.
Yeah, heard Tony was at the Paige VanZant fight. I kind of had her slated maybe as a possibility for Britt's heavy, if that's not Ruby Soho.
She can't fight Lance Archer.
Who's maybe it's Kane. Because Kane is back in AAA now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mayor Glenn Jacobs?
No, the good
no,
Kane.
Kane Velasquez. Yeah.
Not the worst major league professional wrestler of all time, Glenn Jacobs.
Here's the thing though. Kane Velasquez is AKA. That's San Jose.
Oh, in terms
and
of his fight
ATT,
camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it you know, I don't think AKA probably doesn't have a ready-made wrestling promo guy already working in AEW.
No, you're entirely right about that. King Mo. I mean, remember when King Mo was supposed to be a big thing in wrestling?
In terms of, did I hear the name King Mo a lot? I do remember that. I do not remember when I ever actually saw him or had reason to believe that anyone believed him to be big outside of like whatever people were listening to, whatever podcast.
Danny has a good point in the YouTube chat. Kurt Angle in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
No. He doesn't.
If it's like a one-time thing.
Yeah, it would be weird, like, putting him with Dan Lambert. That would kind of, not like Kurt Angle needs somebody to talk to him, but I guess if you're, the story is that it's building off the Lance Archer thing. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I'd get a good reaction.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I went to the American Top Team website, and I just really can't find anybody that is interesting, so.
Well, I mean, he's too busy. Dan Lambert's too busy bringing the U back to build a website. Like, that's, we need to make sure each time Dan Lambert appears in AEW programming, we have to make sure at least once we mention that he's the man who is bringing the U back by paying everyone $6,000 just tweet about American Top Team, I think, like once a month. Like, that's it.
Dan Lambert was like, hey, you know, wrestling is in good hands. Wrestling is back. Now we need to bring the U back.
Is it just going to be Jorge Masvidal?
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was at AEW the one time, yeah. Right?
He's been at AEW a lot. Like, whenever Dan Lambert has been there, he's brought Jorge Masvidal. Amanda Nunes. Wasn't Amanda Nunes in the crowd in Miami?
Maybe.
No, but Amanda Nunes, I can't imagine UFC being okay with that, though, at this point.
We had the TNT title match with Miro defeating Lee Johnson with the game over. And then Christian did his weird promo. He sang the Golden Girls theme. He said he's not going to be helping Layla because she already has friends, best friends. And then points out that he's happy to be the number one contender. He's here to win titles. He's better than good. He's elite. Then we got the, for whatever reason, the NWA Women's Title Eliminator. With Layla Hirsch versus the Bunny, and Layla won with the cross arm breaker.
So apparently Serena Deeb is injured again, or she's having another surgery. Like, they were mentioning that on commentary,
yeah.
Like that she has like another knee thing. So like, that's why I guess the Bunny was put in here.
Yeah.
Or,
but it was JR who said that. So I'm like, well, he might just be fucking wrong.
No, that is entirely
He might just be talking about the last surgery or whatever. So I was kind of like, yeah, I can't fucking trust what this guy says. So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. This match though. Yeah.
It definitely happened. Jade Cargill had a pre-tape with Smart Mark Sterling. He said she hasn't been wrestling.
Hold on. You forgot to bring up that Camille Brickhouse got into the ring.
I didn't forget. I just didn't care.
Maybe. Okay, that's fair.
She's big.
She is big.
Statuesque.
Smart Mark says that Jade has not been wrestling because they've been building the hashtag Jade brand, but now they're back and she's going to be wrestling on Elevation on Monday.
Smart Mark Sterling really understands his character like few people in wrestling do. He's like, I'm going to bring the exact energy of a attorney who pays for local radio ads and billboards to this energy, to this promo. And he did. He's got it.
Then we had the main event with Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black. Black won with a spin kick. I don't know if they said what he's calling it now.
No, they didn't say.
So I don't know what it's called. Yeah, and after the match, there was the thing that everybody talked about earlier. My criticism of this is, well, first of all, that it was corny, but second of all, that Malakai Black had already made Cody take two bumps that were more brutal than this. I mean, like, you have to keep escalating if he's going to attack him again. I just didn't like that. The spin kick looked way more brutal than hitting him with the fucking little tiny crutch. So I just
got him on the bridge in the nose. Fine. He got him on the bridge in the nose with the spin kick. He was bleeding.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. I like blood in wrestling. Yeah. So I just, if he's going to attack him again after, he's got to fucking just kill him. I mean, Cody has to die in the ring. Because he's I've knocked him out so much that he could just stand on him with fucking one foot. And then Cody just stops hobbling, just walks around the ring, and then he just hits him with a little crutch? Who gives a fuck? Come on.
He was still hobbling. You could see his upper body moving weird when he was promoing.
That's just Cody, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I didn't, you know, I was just more amused that they cut off Cody's, you know, heartfelt girl dad emotional core of the company promo here. That's all you needed. I didn't care what it actually was.
I mean, the one thing that I think could have been like the added thing is, at least from when I watch NXT, I don't know if you continue doing this afterwards. This was just like an affectation there where Tommy End would do like the pick with his foot and leading that up to the black mass. That would have been the way, like have him with like him the crutch, and then while he's practically out on his feet, you do it again. That's how I would have gone off air, and that would have felt a little bit more justified, because like, all right, he's already knocked out, like you're beating up someone who's unconscious. So,
well, that was Dynamite for this week. If you enjoy our show, the best way to support us is to go to patreon.com/everythingelite, and the Patreon is getting revamped. It is revamped currently, as the calendar has turned to August. And the idea basically is we're going to be, I don't know, more, I guess there's going to be more AEW coverage on the Patreon. So if you're a real AEW head, this is the place to be, because you're going to get coverage of Dynamite. Of course, we do a preview on Wednesday mornings that Mike and I do. We cover all the vlogs. Nate does that on the light show that we put out on Wednesdays.
At least one of the vlogs.
Exactly. Mike and I cover Dark and Elevation at some length, sometimes at more length than others.
Road 2.
We cover Road 2, and we're going to be having a dedicated show for Rampage that will come out on the weekends after the late Friday night show. So we cover everything, literally everything Elite. Also, we do some bonus content. This week, we put out a retrospective of All In with our good friends Kara and Oat. I think it was quite a bit of fun, so I hope you'll check it out. You just sign up at patreon.com/everythingelite. We got 3 tiers. You also get the live Dynamite, or this show that we're doing right now. You can get it live if you're on the $8 tier. We do pay-per-view instant reactions. We do it all, and there's a Discord that's a lot of fun. So come join us, patreon.com/everythingelite. Next week on Dynamite, they're going to be in Pittsburgh. We're going to have Chris Jericho versus Wardlow, the Fourth Labor. We're going to have Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander. And for the Impact tag titles, we have the Good Brothers versus Evil Uno and Stu Grayson.
Let's go match.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I thought they were building to Britt versus Nyla. Do you think Chris can just win this and we can just go to Britt versus Chris instead for All Out?
Didn't we just do Britt versus Nyla? I don't think they're doing that again.
No, they're not doing that again. I think this actually is the build to Chris.
Did they just do Britt versus
Nyla? Yeah, Burgers.
Yeah.
Vicky.
Yeah.
That was, you mean the tag match?
No, this no, was the that was like 2 weeks ago. Match.
Aaron, do you smell toast right now?
Yeah, I'm losing. Oh, you guys are right. 12 minutes in Garland, Texas.
Yeah.
Don't remember that happening at all. Was it good or what?
Well, no.
No.
And we didn't talk about it being the title feud for, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks.
I remember that. I just don't remember the actual match happening. Man.
Yeah, it happened.
Huh. Well, good for them. I'm glad they were able to do that match. Good for Nyla getting another title shot. Good for Britt for defending her title. Happy for her. So, all right. So we think Britt versus Chris for All Out?
It seems like Chris should be, you know, the first real threat to Britt.
Yeah.
I don't know if All Out is where, I wouldn't think that she'd win it at All Out, but yeah, they should start getting her on that level probably.
Okay. And then, of course, next week also Rampage will debut. So that'll be interesting. And that will be our first show breaking down Rampage. But we don't have a name for it yet. Nate, did you come up with a name? I know you were going to think about
it. No, I got a theme song. I do recall saying that there might be some thinking about it. I don't think I did any thinking.
I had this thought today. I think, you know, light is obviously an antonym of dark. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was kind of the idea with
yeah,
light.
I did also
it was supposed to be a short show.
Yeah, so. I did ask if we had a good antonym for Rampage, and I think Mike said placidity.
Well, yes, placidity.
Do you remember that, Aaron?
I do kind of remember that. Okay. I looked up antonyms for Rampage, and there's really not good ones that would you could name a show.
Yeah,
really.
It's tough.
I mean, placidity.
I don't know about placidity, Mike. I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Well, that sounds like your problem, not the show's name.
Yeah, there's just there's not really good. So listen,
okay. Here's the proposal. Here's the proposal. Of course, Rampage series of video games later made into a movie by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The Rampage title that I played the most was Rampage World Tour.
So yes, maybe N64.
So maybe we do AEW World Tour, and we just take the graphics from WCW versus NWO World Tour, and that's our cover art.
All right, I can get down with it.
That's an idea.
Aaron,
all right,
your thoughts?
I was having some internet issues, and so there was some buffering, and so I wasn't really sure when Nate was done talking, but I did hear everything.
So your thoughts?
Sounds great.
Okay.
World Tour is the name of the show? That's your idea?
See, now it sounds like you don't think it's so great when you phrase it like that.
We can use that Jay-Z song?
No, I've already got the song. The song is Weekender Girl.
World Tour, do you want more?
Cooking raw with my Brooklyn boys.
With the Brooklyn boys, yeah.
It's one last time. It's encore. That's encore.
Hova, hova.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we got the song.
I've sung a lot tonight. I think we're good.
That was more of a chant. Chanted there.
That is fair.
I'll just shut the fuck up. How about that?
All right.
Okay, well, I think that's the show for this week. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at EverythingAEW. I'm at Aaron Like the Car. Nate is at Epitasis. Mike is at Fuji Heya. Subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and review on the Apple Podcast app. If you want to support the show, you go to manscaped.com. and use the promo code This Is for 20% off and free shipping. And go to patreon.com/everythingelite and subscribe. For Mike, for Nate, I'm Aaron. We'll see you next week.
All right, we're good. Andrew had a name. Temperance.
Temperance.
Yeah.